This has definitely got to go in the frequently asked questions file. How and when do we get taste for chanting the holy names of Krishna? Kobe hobe bolo shede namar amar aparada ghuchi shudhaname ruchi kripa bole hobe hridaye sanchar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, when oh when will that day be mine? When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When oh when will that day be mine? So that's a very nice meditation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How we get taste for the holy name. That you can read that whole song. Interestingly, that song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur comes just toward the end of his whole series of songs on Sharanagati. It's the penultimate song in the whole Sharanagati series, giving the understanding that surrender and chanting the holy names, they're not different, and that the secret to the whole process is in chanting the holy names. And that surrender to Krishna and having taste for the holy name, then they're not different. And then the final, after going through the whole Sharanagati series, that's the penultimate song. And then his final song is describing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his bliss in chanting the holy names. In one song, he, as in the whole Sharanagati series, there are division of songs. Of sometimes he sings like someone who is hoping to get the mercy of Krishna, and sometimes he sings a sadhaka, an aspirant in devotion, and then sometimes he sings from his own actual platform of being a fully perfected devotee. So his final song is talking about the bliss that he perceives in chanting the holy name. Anyway, you might think this is all very theoretical. Practically, what is my own situation? I'm struggling like everyone else, but in my case, as in your case, we can't say there's no taste for the holy name. Because if there was no taste whatsoever, then we wouldn't be able to go on chanting day after day. There must be something there. Just like people often ask me, how long have I been practicing Krishna consciousness? And it's 30 odd years. And then people ask, well, what do you get from it? Are you happy? Well, it seems obvious that I'm happy. I must be getting something from it. Otherwise, how could I continue day after day after day doing so? So we're not on the perfect stage, but something must be there. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example from his, this is not a Shastric example, it's an example from his own personal experience, that when you go in an airplane, you might not even notice. Maybe you're reading a book or something like this, you didn't even notice that the plane took off, and you're way up in the sky. The last time you looked out of the window, you're on the ground and you're absorbed in reading a book or something like that, and you're not even aware that the plane's taken off. And the next time you look out of the window, without you even noticing it, you're up in the clouds or beyond the clouds. So in the same way, in practicing Krishna consciousness, we go on with our services, we go on with our sadhana, and we might not even notice how much of Krishna, we may not even recognize or perceive how much Krishna is showering his mercy on us, which he definitely is. Just to be able to stay in Krishna consciousness means we're getting Krishna's mercy. So, you may not have taste to the full extent that you want to have, and that's good, because we should always want to have more taste. But my point is that something must be there. There's something that drives us to rise every morning and chant our rounds and do all these things. Especially yourself being in the Grihastha ashram, it's not like you're living in a Brahmachari ashram where someone comes and wakes you up every morning, but you're doing it. So taste is there. How to get it more and more? Just keep on going. The very nature of Krishna consciousness is that it is inspiring. Syat Krishna Nama, what is that verse? Syat Krishna Nama Charitai. Oh, now I'm forgetting. What is that verse? Syat Krishna Nama Charitai. So, the point is, if we go on chanting, then gradually we become cured of the disease of material attraction. Just like the example of is given, that if we have jaundice, we perceive the taste of sugar to be bitter. But if we go on taking sugar candy, then gradually we become cured, and again we taste sugar as it is, sweet. So in the same way, we are diseased with the disease of material life. But if we take to Krishna consciousness, then gradually we become cured, and we taste Krishna as being very sweet, which he is. Now, we may not notice how we're becoming cured. You chew sugar candy, or you suck sugar candy, and you still feel it tastes bitter. And the next time you taste, it still tastes bitter. And the next time you taste, it still tastes bitter. But gradually, the disease is being cured. However, if along with taking the medicine, we also take food which is proscribed in jaundice, like fried food, very spicy food, then even if we take sugar candy, we won't get cured. So similarly, if we're in Krishna consciousness and we're doing the practices, but at the same time we're doing things which are detrimental to Krishna consciousness, then it's like pouring petrol into a fire from one side and water from the other, from one hand pouring petrol and from the other hand pouring water. You don't get a blazing fire. By pouring petrol, you should get a blazing fire. But if you simultaneously pour water, then you just get a bunch of smoke. My own personal experience, yeah, I chanted from the beginning. Not that I had taste in particular, but I just saw, well, others are doing it. Why can't I? I mean, it's not that all these people just took a Vaikuntha airplane from the spiritual world. They're all from similar backgrounds to me. If they can do it, I can do it. So that's what I thought. So at least mechanically I started in the beginning, and I also thought when I came to this movement, that I doubted if I could find anything bona fide, because I'd seen so many bogus Mayavadis and bogus Christians and bogus this and bogus that, and I was doubtful of being able to find anything genuinely spiritual. So when I did, I had the idea, if I do find a path which I can follow in good faith, then I should give myself to it fully. There's no point in being a half-baked devotee. If you're going to do it fully. And then, ye yata mang prapadyante tangsta taiva bhajami aham. Krishna reciprocates. So along with our chanting, of course, we have to have service, which also inspires us. Preaching service or whatever service. So that also helps. We have to do something practical in Krishna's service. Bhurijan Prabhu recently wrote a book. I think it's just called Japa. You could read that. that's helpful for helping us to take to Krishna, chanting of the Krishna's names more seriously. And there's one seminar by Gokul Chandra Prabhu, which I haven't heard, but which devotees say is very helpful for helping them to improve their chanting. You could also listen to that. And just keep on going. Taste or no taste. We have to have faith in the holy names. And it has its effect. We can't say there's no effect. If we weren't chanting, then how could we go on with our Krishna conscious practices? We get strength from chanting. And the good example of that is that devotees who become lax in their chanting, who they don't chant properly, they stop chanting 16 rounds and say, oh, I don't have time, and then they go down from that, and they gradually stop following everything else. They stop following the principles, and they become weak in everything. So we are getting strength from the holy names.